Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
They simply can't. They're all human languages. And the thing which Christ desires to teach us about is something which is beyond words. And so he uses imagery, right? He conveys images to us through parables. And so he gives us, in this reading that we have today, concerning the rich man and Lazarus. And this parable, by many of the church fathers, is understood to be a teaching on wealth and poverty. St. John Chrysostom in particular, if you ever want to be convicted about your wealth and about how little you do to help someone else in poverty, read the sermons of St. John Chrysostom on this particular passage. It's very convicting. But I think that we can look a little bit deeper than that. Deeper than simply a message that we should help the poor. Because if you look at the parable carefully, the Lord's concern is not simply that the rich man would feed Lazarus. The Lord's concern is that they would both enter paradise. This is always Christ's focus, to bring the people that he created into paradise. And it's for that cause that he instructs the wealthy to feed the poor, because it will bring them into paradise. Look at this parable. The Lord says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, in other words, very fine clothing, and he ate sumptuously every day. The Fathers, Blessed Theophilus, unpacked a lot out of that little phrase. He ate sumptuously every day. So, in other words, he ate every day, which Lazarus was not doing. But he didn't just eat, he ate well. Fine food, rich food, every day. Not, you know, some plain food on most days and then every so often a nice meal. A big, huge, sumptuous, rich meal every day. And there was a certain beggar, and now we get a name, Lazarus. The rich man's never given a name, is he? Because he shows himself unworthy of being remembered by God. There's a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. It's a vivid image. Lazarus lays there, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fall from the rich man's table, and the only mercy that he receives as from the dogs who come and clean his wounds for him. Might sound gross to us, but the Fathers say the dogs are actually being merciful. Remember, in the Middle East, dogs are an unclean animal. So these here are the unclean animals being more merciful to this beggar Lazarus than his fellow human being, this rich man, who has all the power to assist this poor beggar. And then that's all we get, right? As far as the earthly lives of these two men, that's all we see in the parable. The rich man was clothed well, he ate sumptuously every day. Lazarus was a beggar, he was covered in sores, he was laid at the rich man's gate, he couldn't do anything for himself, the dog was licking his sores, and it came to pass that he died. That's it. Their whole lives are summed up in two verses. And the Lord says, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, which is another phrase for paradise. And the rich man also died and was buried. It's kind of blunt. He died and was buried. That's it. And then we're told that in hell, in Greek it says in Hades. So this is a parable of the final judgment, right? In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he remembers his kinship. Then he remembers the family to which he belongs, and he cries out, Father Abraham. Remember, these are both presumably Israelites, both descendants of Abraham. And now all of a sudden he remembers that he's a son of Abraham and therefore a brother of Lazarus. And he cries out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, and he knows the beggar's name now, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham's response is very telling. For one, Abraham does not respond by saying, how dare you ask any kind of favor from Lazarus? He does not respond by saying, you don't deserve anything because of the way you treated Lazarus in your lifetime. Abraham responds with compassion. He says, "Son." The rich man calls out, "Father Abraham," and Abraham says, "Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things." It says in the King James, which we use, "Remember that thou in my lifetime receivest thy good things." You received your good things. "And likewise Lazarus received evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented." What does it mean that the rich man received his good things? He received the things which he considered to be good. And Lazarus received the things that the rich man considered to be evil. And what were those things that the rich man considered to be good? A nice house, nice clothes, to eat well every day. And the fathers, when they comment on the passage, they expand from that. You know, he was rich and eating well every day, and he was having lots of parties and having all kinds of other kinds of sins were going on there. But we don't have to really extrapolate beyond the gospel passage to see what the rich man considered to be good. This was his limit, right? This was all he could see. This world, material benefit, was his sole focus in life. His good things were the things of this world. The pleasures of this world were the things he considered good. And Lazarus received the things that he considered to be evil. Lazarus had to suffer. Lazarus was required to fast. Lazarus was unable to do anything for himself. But the fathers, again, all say, we know that Lazarus didn't just lay there and suffer and complain, because he was carried into the bosom of Abraham by the angels. So what kind of person is Lazarus? What did he do? He was patient. He was long-suffering. All of his hope was in God. He had no hope in, literally, no hope in men. There was not a human being that he could place hope in. And therefore, all of his hope was placed in God. He didn't complain, he didn't grumble. And we know that because when he died, he was carried into the bosom of Abraham by the angels. And so, can you open that door, Rachel? Just open it properly. And so, we know that Lazarus was what we would call a righteous man. And the rich man was what we would consider to be an unrighteous man. But what does the rich man's unrighteousness consist of? That he considered the wrong things to be good. The things he considered to be good were the things of this world. What were the qualities that Lazarus possessed that the rich man considered to be evil? Patience, long-suffering, firm hope in God. And so, for us to look at this parable and to limit it to a sort of a social gospel, a social commentary, that this is simply something that tells us how we should live in this world, is, I think, a little bit misguided. It definitely does that, don't get me wrong. We are definitely instructed to feed the poor and have mercy on the sick and to try to lift the suffering out of their suffering if we can. But why are we supposed to do that? Because it teaches us to value the things of God and not to value the things of this world. We can very easily go through this life just like the rich man, and we don't have to be rich to do it. We can go through this life placing all of our hope in the goods of this world, placing all of our hope in living in a nice house or living in some kind of house. We can place all of our hope in eating well, or at least eating every day. We can place all of our hope in the material pleasures of this life. And we don't have to be rich to do it. Elder Paisios said one time, Elder Paisios of Manatho said, that you could be so poor that all you possess is one little nail. But if all of your thought is directed to that one little nail, then you're as badly off as the rich man. because you're badly off as a rich man. So for us, some of us, I would say, in this little community are what we would call wealthy. Some of us in this little community are what we would call poor. All of us are called upon to place our hope in the kingdom of God, to look beyond this world, to help one another, to help those who are less fortunate than us. No matter how poor we might happen to be, we can always find someone less fortunate than us, and we can always find something that we can do for that person. But above all, we are called upon to look beyond this world, to not fix our eyes on the goods of this world, on the pleasures of this life, but to fix our eyes upon the kingdom of heaven, to place our hope there, to have eternity be our focus, to have eternity be our goal, so that in this life we don't stumble and fall into the trap of the rich man, but that we rather help those who are in need of our help, or at the very least, suffer patiently without complaining the trials that come upon us. Because by doing either one, we will be initiated into paradise and the kingdom of heaven. To Christ be all glory, honor, and worship for the ages and ages.
Amen.